My childhood friend Carter moved away with his family to this really rural town in Michigan, but we've always stayed in touch. His family is very country, and I'd go as far as to say they're kind of rednecky, so the move there was no surprise. His family loves me, and I'm always welcome to go visit. We're 19 now, I'm in college, Carter works for his dad. They have a huge property up there. I had visited before, this was not my first time going up there. So it was a weekend in the fall. I was gonna stay at Carter's family home up there. His mom and his sister wouldn't be there this weekend. It was just him and his dad. It's a 4.5 hour drive up there. It's a lot of farmland and open fields by them. To get onto their property was a gravel road about 300 feet off the main road. I got there to a warm welcome by both Carter and his dad. They were already sitting in the backyard drinking beers, so after bringing my bag in from the car, I joined them. Carter was telling me about all the trails in the area that we could take my Toyota 4Runner off-roading. I'd never off-roaded before, but I was super down to. Carter's dad grilled us up some burgers first, then he was off to his friend's house. Carter and I got in my car, and he guided me to this nearby trail that he described as perfect for off-roading. It was around 6 o'clock, so we only had a couple hours of light left. We did about an hour of off-roading on various trails not far from Carter's house. When it was starting to get a little darker out, we left the trails and got back on the road because it was even darker when you're in the middle of the woods. As we were just driving around passing a bunch of farmland, we passed this abandoned church-looking building that had a huge cornfield next to it. Carter said he passes this place all the time, but he never checked it out. So what do we do? Of course, we both agree to go back and check it out later. But Carter said we should take the bikes over later. His family has a million mountain bikes, fully equipped with lights and everything. We drove back to his house. He grabbed a backpack and threw some tequila and a bottle of Sprite in it, along with some flashlights. We took the two best bicycles they had. Each had night riding lights mounted on the handlebars. He said it would probably be a 20-minute bike ride. Both of us are big fitness guys, and have been since high school, so I didn't even mind a long bike ride. When we got to the abandoned building, it was pretty dark out now, hence why we brought flashlights. The grass was very overgrown, too. We made sure no cars were coming before entering the property just to be safe. We hid our bikes a little bit into the cornfield just so they wouldn't be seen. There was still just enough light outside to navigate without turning on the flashlights. We didn't want to make it too obvious we were here. We were thinking of getting some cool, artsy shots of each other for our Instagram inside the building, if we could find a way inside. The place was definitely an old church, the shape of the windows confirmed it. We went to look through one of the windows, and it was way too dark to see inside. I told Carter to hand me a flashlight. The flashlight made all the difference. We could see inside now. We both noticed something strange in the pews. It was what looked like a person's head hunched over sitting down with their back to us. Carter said it looked like a mannequin, especially considering it was completely motionless. We placed a friendly bet, Carter betting it was a mannequin and me betting it was some drunk homeless man. We went to the front door of the place and saw it was boarded up. Carter shook the door just for the hell of it to see if it would budge, but there was no shot. He implied this meant he won the bet because there was no way for a homeless person to get in there. I said, hold up, let's check the other windows for a closer view. So we walked along the other side of the church to the window we knew had the best angle of whatever we saw in there. But now, when I shined the flashlight through the glass, whatever was in that pew just a couple minutes ago was gone. I told Carter he owes me money because I was right, even though that was also terrifying. He asked, where did they go then? I shined the light in every direction, until we both spotted it at the same exact time and jumped. The man standing right to the left of the window on the inside. He was looking at us. It didn't look like no homeless man to me though. We took off running back to the cornfield. We tried to find the bikes in a panic, but we couldn't. It was so dark out now that we were avoiding turning on our flashlights to expose ourselves. We heard a slam from the church building. It sounded like some kind of door. Carter told me to be quiet because he heard sounds in the cornfield, like the crops being brushed through by someone. Then it just stopped and went silent, dead silent. No breeze at all, so all the crops were just still. We were stationary, ducked down, scared to move. We were in this position for a solid minute before Carter said in a low voice, which way did we leave the bikes? And this was when we heard the crops mere feet away from us being brushed aside as someone was clearly running towards us. I screamed go as we both beelined through the crops as some of them were smacking me in the face. At some point, we cut out into the open, leaving the cornfield, running back to the road. We were no longer being chased. Carter called his dad right away, and he came and picked us up. He wasn't the kind of dad to get pissed at us for trespassing or drinking or anything like that. He was more so pissed about the bikes, but he said we were right to leave the bikes and run. The next day, he drove us back to that church, bringing his gun with him. We looked in the crops until we found the bikes. Then we threw them in the bed of Carter's dad's truck. We were about to leave when we took a look back at the church and saw someone at one of the windows. It had to be the same person. I guess when he saw us notice him, he creepily walked away from the window. Carter's dad said, "Let's get the hell out of here," because that was genuinely disturbing. For his dad to be creeped out meant a lot. He's a pretty tough guy. We went to some barbecue place afterwards and had a bunch of food and some drinks. Afterwards, Carter's dad called some town number to let them know someone was squatting in that abandoned building. As long as it was brought to their attention, at least we felt like we did something. Who knows if that man is still hiding in that church, though? Or who he was, for that matter. I live on a farm with my brother and his wife. We split the responsibilities in the busy season. In the off season, they go off traveling quite often. My fiance passed away a few years ago, and I haven't really put myself back out there just yet. I spend a lot of time alone, and the off seasons really get to me. This was early October, right around the time before our last harvest. My brother Joe and his wife were out of town for a few days. Figure something like this would happen while I'm holding the fort myself. It was a night like any other. The windows in the house were still open to allow that refreshing October breeze to flow through the house. Outside, I suddenly heard a scream. It was the scream of a female. I couldn't tell if it was a teenage girl or a grown woman, but it was blood-curdlingly high-pitched. I sprang up from my Lazy Boy recliner and went to my gun safe in my bedroom to grab my rifle. I went outside to be greeted by the breezy, chilly air. I stood on the front porch for a second, waiting, and I heard the scream again. It was coming from the cornfield. I fired a round into the air as a warning shot. I didn't at that moment know what was happening. It could have been someone in danger or a group of teens messing around being punks. After I fired the round, I heard a woman's voice yell, "Help," before there was nothing but silence. I called out, "Who's out there? Where are you?" Nothing but wind now. I turned on every exterior light I had on my house, and I also grabbed my cell phone and called 911 as I walked into the cornfield, calling out, waiting for a response. After telling the operator what I heard, I was left to wait for a few police officers to arrive. There were a total of four that ultimately showed up, and with the help of them, we all checked the cornfield, shining flashlights and yelling out for anybody who needed help. I'd imagine that anytime someone is reported screaming for help, the cops take it a little more seriously. After we ultimately found no one, I was told by one cop to call 911 again if I should hear anyone scream for help and that they'd be nearby. Then they all left. I went back inside of the house, not before taking one more look out to the cornfield. I closed the door and turned off all the lights. There's not much to do in this county for the local kids, so it didn't seem unbelievable that maybe it was some kids trying to scare some random farmers and homeowners. After another hour of watching TV, I went upstairs to bed. I took a couple melatonins to help me sleep, as I'm a chronic insomniac. Usually, I'd say that's unfortunate. After, I'd guess, an hour and some minutes, I heard creaks and clunks from downstairs. I just realized I never closed the windows downstairs. You can hear everything through the paper-thin walls in this house, and all the floors make noise. I grabbed my cell phone and called my brother Joe. He picked up, and I asked him in a whisper if he's home. He said no. In that moment, all the hairs on my body stood up, and I knew now I was in fight-or-flight mode. I told my brother, "There's someone in the house. Call the police for me." He was a few towns away, so it would be the same dispatch center. He said he would, no questions asked, and hung up. I tiptoed as quietly as I could to the safe and grabbed my shotgun. I know for a fact I made a noise as I crept to it, though. It was inevitable. I heard sounds from downstairs still, There was definitely someone in my house. I crept to the door and opened it. I looked down the stairway to the downstairs. I could still hear the breeze flowing through the house downstairs. The hairs on my arms were standing up. I started inching down the stairs one at a time, trying my best not to make a sound. But I only made it down a few steps before hearing footsteps from downstairs on the wood floors creeping closer to the stairway, until a tall, skinny figure appeared at the bottom of the steps. I cocked the shotgun and said, "Don't move." He didn't listen. He almost calmly walked out of sight, and I heard his footsteps then pick up to a run through the living room and then out the back door. I yelled stop as I briefly attempted to chase him, but as soon as he was out of my house, I locked the door and called my brother. He said the cops were on the way. I locked every single window on the first floor and waited for the police to come back. It was the same officers. They did a little search of the perimeter of the property this time with all the lights on. One of the officers said he was going to stay on the property for the night, though I don't think that guy was coming back after seeing I was armed. In fact, he never did. But the story doesn't end there. I was finishing up the last harvest of the season in the combine, and while doing so, I noticed a shoe in the field. I stopped the machine to go pick it up and examine it. It was a woman's shoe, size 8.5. This got me thinking back to the screams I heard, followed by the man breaking into my house hours later. I called 911 once again and left the shoe where it was to not hinder any potential evidence. When police came, they did another investigation of the cornfield, and they took the shoe as a piece of evidence to a possible disappearance. They even brought police dogs to sniff out any possible scents. The strange thing is, there was no missing female reports in our county, not at the time at least. I hope whoever's shoe that is still alive today. It makes me sick thinking someone might have been murdered on my farm. When we were kids, our family had a vacation home in Hollywood, South Carolina. By we, I mean my three brothers and I. And by vacation home, I mean this three-bedroom mobile home. It wasn't fancy, but it was part of our childhood and is still nostalgic to think about. Whenever we got off the highway and started seeing nothing but farms, we'd know we're almost there. I'm the second oldest. At the time of this story, I'm gonna guess our ages were 14, 12, 10, and 8. The mobile home was a little primitive, but we had electricity at least. The TV up there was very old, but it was good enough to bring our PlayStation and play on. We'd been going up there so long that we had a bunch of places we'd love to go. This big playground for an elementary school that we'd always play hide-and-seek tag in while our parents sat there and read magazines. This grocery store that we would love to play games in as well. We even loved exploring all the woods surrounding the property. The nearest neighbors were a bit of a walk away, but nothing too crazy or far that our parents wouldn't let us walk it. This was the first year that they let our youngest brother Todd come exploring with us too, while they stayed behind in the mobile home. We walked down a different road that strays away from the dead end, and it's worth noting that there was next to no traffic on these roads, as our mobile home was on a long road that eventually led to a dead end, so the only through traffic would be the few people who lived on this road. There was always this questionable-looking house and farm that we never saw a car at ever in our lives. It sat at the top of this little hill, overlooking the road. There was a small cornfield, which would imply that there were still people living there. But it was just strange how, all our lives going there, we never saw anyone there, whether it be a person or car. So between the woods surrounding the property, the two buildings, the shed, and the cornfield, we realized this was a perfect spot to play hide-and-seek tag. It was broad daylight right now. We decided our oldest brother Tony would be seeker first, and we'd go in order, oldest to youngest. So the rest of us went to go hide. I went to go hide in the crops. I heard Tony call out, "Ready or not, here I come," and so I simply sat down in the browning crops, completely hidden. I waited and waited until I heard a rustling in the crops and footsteps crunching the rotted dead crop leaves on the ground. I didn't know which of my brothers it was, but I wasn't taking a chance. I ran out of the crops and into the grass and up the hill towards the red shed. I expected Tony to come out after me, but he didn't, so I figured it was one of my little brothers. I heard commotion as Tony was chasing my 10-year-old brother George down the hill on the other side of the house, and the two were laughing and screaming. Tony caught him, and so George was out. I stayed put behind the shed. Then I noticed Todd, leaning against the back wall of the house, looking at me laughing. I put my finger up to my lips to go shh, and he did the same. Then I thought to myself, wait, who was in the cornfield with me then? Tony came around the house and immediately and easily tagged Todd, and then he saw me since I was in a straight line of sight from him. I started running down the hill, which gave me a good speed boost, but Tony got that same speed boost, and he was bigger and faster than me. He caught me with ease. The four of us met at the bottom of the hill by the road, and I was supposed to be up next. But I asked everyone if anyone had gone in the crops as well. When all of them said no, I got scared. I told them I heard someone walking in the crops and it may have been the homeowner, so we should leave. With that, we left in a hurry and walked back to the mobile home, where our parents were watching a movie in the living room. For dinner, we went to the local pizzeria that we all loved. From what I remember, our dad told us that nobody lived in that house that we were playing at. So, when we got back and it was dark out, we just knew we wanted to play flashlight tag now. Our mom didn't want Todd coming out with us past dark, and I'm sure they only let us go because Tony was 14 and they thought he was old enough to keep an eye on us. So the three of us ventured off back to that house to play flashlight tag, which basically is hide and seek, but if you get exposed by the seeker with a flashlight, you're out. Once we got to the property again, it was like 90% dark out. They wanted me to seek this time since Tony did last time. So I turned around and counted to 60, and then I shouted, "I'm coming." I kept the flashlight off as a strategy to not give away my position. I could just barely see enough to navigate around. I ran up the hill to the house, which had no lights on. I peered around the walls of the house, and then the shed. I didn't see either of them. I looked into the trees, and decided to turn my flashlight on and look through the tree line. Still nothing, so I turned the flashlight back off. I knew one of them had to be in the cornfield. It was too obvious of a hiding spot. It was small enough that I could check it out. I got to the bottom of the hill by the cornfield and quietly pushed my way in. It was hard not to make noise in here, but I tried my best. I also kept the flashlight off to not make it obvious I was in here. I didn't realize until now that it was dark out how absolutely scary this was at night. As I was sneaking around the crops, I heard footsteps inside the crops. I had to be sneaky if I wanted to catch them. I honed in on exactly where the footsteps were coming from, and when I heard them right on top of me, I turned on my flashlight and yelled, "Caught," but all I saw was the back of someone running away from the light. "Who is that?" I said. "You're out." Then I heard this creepy laughter. It wasn't the laughter of my brothers, or any kid for that matter. It sounded like some deranged adult. I was frozen, apart from moving my hand with the flashlight around trying to see who it was. I heard a grown man's voice say very softly, "Can I play with you guys?" And then I saw his face. It was half covered by the few crops still separating the two of us. From what I could tell, he had this kind of deformed looking face. I really couldn't tell if it was a mask or not. I ran out of the crops and started yelling my brothers' names, saying, "Run, game over." I heard them both yell back at me from the same spot. They hid together. I saw them running down the hill with their flashlights on. I turned mine on and told them to just keep running. We ran all the way down the road until we got back to our property, and we were out of breath. But I told them there was some deformed-looking, freaky man hiding in the crops, and that he was probably the one I heard in the crops earlier, too. I still remember their faces when I told them this. When I told my parents, they looked confused, and my dad didn't seem to know how to react. My mom made it clear she didn't want us going off the property past dark anymore. Honestly, I didn't want to anyway. I had trouble sleeping that night, thinking, what if that man was outside in the pitch darkness, outside one of the windows? I could tell I freaked everyone out a little bit with my description of the man. I had no reason to make it up, though, and they knew that. It goes without saying we didn't go back to that property up the road. Thank God it wasn't that close to our property. My family sold the property only a few years after this.